CFO Show. I'm your host, Melissa Howitson, CFO of Vena. Joining me today is Thomas Krolak, Director of FP&A at Vena. Thomas, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. I'm actually really excited. I'm relishing putting you in the hot seat right now. It's going to be fun.
That's right. Thomas is going to be interviewing me today for an Accelerate Finance episode of the CFO Show. And today's topic is all about how a CFO can stay sharp. Many CFOs end up spending a lot of their time in meetings and rarely have time to get involved in the day-to-day operations. They rely on their teams for reporting and keeping them up to speed. So how then do CFOs stay sharp and keep up their tactical skills?
Yeah, I'm really excited to actually ask you a lot of questions because when we're in one-on-ones and in meetings, it's you always surprise me with some of the things that you say. It's you're always on your career journey. You're always developing in some way, shape, or form. And even though you're a CFO, it's like you're still trying to improve your day-to-day and figure out how you can be better tomorrow. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to ask you questions. All right, let's dive right in. Let's put you to the test. Let's get you on the hot seat. What does staying sharp mean to you and why is it important?
For me, I think, especially when you move into the CFO role, it's about staying on top of your industry, the skill sets that are required, what's changing, and both looking inside and outside the business, being on top of the trends. I don't think you have to be the master of all the things because you can't, and it's just not possible. But you also can't become so far removed that you don't know where things need to go because you could be missing out on the new skill sets that are required. And so I think it's finding that balance. And for me, it's scanning inside and outside the business to try and stay on top of what are some of the key things that might be changing and how am I and my team keeping up and adapting, because it's fast paced. And if we're not learning, we could fall behind.
It's pretty challenging to feel like you're always on top of it if you're not always in the work. And how do you go about feeling that, hey, you are on top of it?
I accept the fact that I can't be on top of all of it, but I also know that I don't want to fall behind too far on all of it as well. It's funny, you know, I heard on the radio a couple of weeks ago how you can tell a generation that people are in by how they type on a phone. Do they, you know, those who use their index finger? And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, which, and then I get on my phone quickly. What finger do I use? And how do I, because have I fallen behind in how I do this? And so, and I do think, you know, you don't want to be the person who's still using a calculator while everyone else is using Excel, right? Because then you're missing out and you're still, you know, you've let those skills, those tactical skills tend to fall behind. But again, you can't be, you're not going to be in there day in and day out. I'm not taking all the Excel skill all the time because there's just not enough time. And so I think it's sifting through and knowing which ones you need to keep up. But, and for me, it's also just getting into the systems, not being afraid. Don't get so far removed that you don't go in. And for me, self-serve is one of the keys to being able to do that. So getting to a point where when I find I have to keep going to people for everything, and I maybe could be self-serving, that's a way to force myself in there and learn, okay, what's the system doing? What's new? What's different? So that you can do that.
That makes a lot of sense, especially if you know, you're in a tech company, you want to be able to actually feel the product and know that, hey, we're still adding value to everybody. And hey, these reports, these things that are self-serving, you know, you can access them yourself. That means other CFOs can do it too. Speaking of Excel, what's your strategy on staying sharp on tools such as Excel or other things like that?
I think continuing to use it is one. The good news is some tools are very intuitive with things that have changed as well. There have become things that become a bit obvious when you go in that, hey, what's this? I think the other one too is I learned from my team. When you're in meetings and you see them navigating in data and they're doing something that's different, I'll ask, hey, what are you doing there? Can you show me how to do that? Because you suddenly might see something that you don't know how to do. I also think you pick those things that you see that you think you might actually use, because you might see something that's cool, but if I'm probably not going to be using it a lot, then I may not need to go and invest in using up my limited capacity in my brain for that.
That makes total sense. Like that's like the best way to learn Excel or any tool, because I can remember when I started in my career, it's we had like three of us analysts sitting in a corner, and we would just turn to each other and be like, whoa, how'd you do that on that spreadsheet? It's oh my gosh, I've never used that function before, or whatever the case is. And you're just working together and watching. And even as you're like moving virtually, I found that was still such an important thing to continue to try to foster. Even though we are virtual, we're on Zoom, and we always encourage, okay, share your screen. Like, I want to see what you're looking at. What are you actually doing to get to that result? It's amazing how often with our team, we actually get on Zoom, get on to share, and we're like going into cells, like, hey, show me what that formula is doing, and see what's actually getting done. And yeah, I find that's like actually the only way to learn Excel, or else like there's no other way to do it. It's unless you're like in it and doing it, it's not possible really to learn it.
I think one of the other things too, you know, when you talk about that, where you're learning from each other in Excel, naturally you start to see people who really are amazing at different tools and systems, and they become teachers in the organization. They just tend to rise up, and you see someone, oh, you're an expert at this system, or you really embrace this new technology, and you can go to those people and learn from them, you know, hey, can you show me how to do this? And so, but always being on the lookout for those rising stars, because they tend to use these tools to be running quicker and the horsepower it gives them. And you think, well, I want that, right? It's magic if you can move quicker. Yeah. So
outside of the tools that we use on a day-to-day basis, how do you stay on top of regulatory requirements, processes, things of that nature, less tangible?
So one of the things I think that helps with that is being the approver on changes that are made internally. And so you might not be right involved, but knowing and staying on top of, hey, if we're going to change this process, well, you want to be, especially for key processes, you want to be that approver who then is aware. That way you don't become so out of touch with some of the bigger changes that might be happening within the business. And you might ask for a walkthrough. I also think, you know, periodically getting a process walkthrough from your business as the CFO, we have to understand how our overall processes are working, our systems are talking to each other. And that means as changes happen, being aware of them and understanding what the key, most critical tools are that the business is using and how they're working together, even if you don't know the inner workings of how they're working.
We forget to think about the workflow or the process of things. And it's amazing what you can uncover just by like mapping out, hey, it's step one is this, you know, I had to take data from here. And then the next process is, or the next few steps is this. It's something amazing that you can unlock by just mapping out a process and seeing, hey, there's like a bottleneck here. Why are we not solving for this bottleneck? It's like, it's a really great way also to find process improvements, efficiencies that way.
Well, and it's interesting because when you do that walkthrough, if you haven't done that for a while, you'll often find that people have a different take. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, then you know for sure there's an inefficiency or something that needs, you know, there's a misunderstanding here and probably some duplication of work that can come out.
I find that when there's cross-functional processes, those workflows are even more important to map out and see, hey, how is this other team involved? Do we interchange work? When's the handoff? It's really important with the cross-functional teams. That way we can like actually see who's doing what and when they're doing it. So that, again, it's all about just like figuring out how to work better almost.
And you asked about regulatory changes and I think of industry changes. So for me, one of the things I do whenever I'm with a company is I understand, I'll go and I'll ask people internally, what are the most key industry publications? Who are our analysts? How do I zero in on those top people who know this industry best? And then I subscribe and I'll just get that information fed to me so that I can just keep scanning it. And so that's a morning job. You know, I wake up, okay, what are these things? I'll sort of speed read, or a Saturday morning, I'll spend a Saturday morning just reading through things that came that week to just be aware. And then, you know, I'll share those out as well. And that's something else I find is really helpful when there's all this information coming in. And as we all scan and then share with one another things that might be relevant. And I'll have that happen in my network where people will be, hey, did you see this? And send me an article. And if it's somebody I know who tends to send me articles that usually are really on the money and something I should know. So I find that's super helpful.
When you're so busy in your day to day, it's hard to be on top of everything. And so when you're like, hey, this is a key thing, like check it out. And it's like, okay, yeah, I'll read it. It's like, oh yeah, that's super relevant. It's like really awesome that you do that. I have to say, I find it hard to like, be like, okay, yeah, I need to go like read everything about an industry, or what's going on in our industry. It's better that you share information when you come by it, because, or else like, it's like, it really does become really challenging to stay on top of everything.
And I think it's saving us time when we know that, hey, if someone else sees something good, they're going to share it with me. They're saving me having to scan this entire universe, which we just can't do. And even, like I said, people that I work with before will still send something if we know it's relevant, just because I think that is such a good way to learn. So, and I think the other thing, and I used to not appreciate it as much, but conferences, and here we are, it's funny because we're sitting here at a conference, but you know, I think when I was early in my career, I thought of them as a cost. And, you know, do people have to really go to all these conferences? But now I do find you can go there and a really well-run conference has really tailor-made the content that's going to be so relevant to that audience. So it can sort of pack a punch. You get in there for a day or 2 days and you can bring back all kinds of material. And again, sharing it as hopefully people are at our own conference. They're going to find a whole bunch of topics and they're going to go back and distribute to those who are relevant and act as that filter to just share that forward. Yeah. So,
because when we have all these deadlines, it's hard to find the time to go and participate in these virtual sessions or whatever the case is. Yeah, we really need to help our team find the time to do that.
It's energizing. Yeah. And then you want to take that energy back to your workplace and to your coworkers. And I think one of the things we can do, I agree, we have to find the time. But then also, if you can distill, hey, these were the things, these are the top three hits. That's right. So that somebody doesn't feel, if we were to go back and after every conference go, I've got 2 full days of material.
That's right.
Well, nobody's going to, they don't all have 2 days. But hey, out of that, here is 2 hours of what I think are the greatest hits. And I would suggest you spend some time here.
Specifically like Rishi's session yesterday about like machine learning. It was so relevant to one of the implementations that we're currently doing. And I just, you know, sent it to our team and it was like, hey, go listen to this because you're going to want to like understand it and learn it. And like, it's super relevant for what we're doing today. You know, like there was a session about ROI and it's like, you know, we have a new team member kind of doing work around a business case. And it's like, hey, go listen to this. Like it's really relevant. Like, you know, even if like, you know, exactly what they're talking about, it's still good to have someone else's perspective.
Absolutely. Yeah. We got to make that space no matter where we are. And that's one of the ways that we're going to stay sharp.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about learning down. So you're obviously at the top of your food chain on the finance team. So how do you learn from the people that are reporting to you?
First off is recognizing you've hired subject matter experts for a reason. And so they are closer to the work they're doing than I am. And I only see a portion of what they see. And so by going and asking them for their thoughts on this or how to go about it, you'll often find you had these blind spots and things that they're letting you know about. And so for me, that's super helpful. And I think just reminding yourself that you're only seeing the tops of the trees here and there's a lot more there. And I think, you know, on some of the more detailed things I've learned, sometimes it's simple things. Color coding a calendar. I remember one time having an EA who was, hey, you could be a lot more organized here. Let's do this. And like, so small, but a huge time saver once you implement different ways of thinking or PowerPoint, you know, some things, you know, tips and tricks on how to do PowerPoints better. Certainly learn lots of things in Excel. And then even some things, I remember one time I went into a one-on-one with an employee and he came in so prepared. He had used this Gallup tool, which is these 12 questions to how am I feeling? A reflection you do. And he said, I'm going to do this every 3 months now. And here's where I feel on these 12 questions. And then let's start tracking this over time.
And it was helping us to have way better coaching conversations. Mm. But he was bringing it. And I was saying, gosh, I got to do this. I'm going to do this myself with my own leader. And mm-hmm. we got to adapt this. Yeah, and sure. similarly, you know, one time I had somebody new join the team. She'd come from a bigger company. And we were talking about something. And she said, well, what's the racy on this? I'm like, what do you mean? What's a racy? Like, I just didn't know the concept. Yeah. But her company, you know, this was so ingrained in them about, well, am I responsible? Am I accountable? And once I saw her, how she was using that, I thought, oh my gosh, like we've got to do this across the organization.
Yeah, it's so logical almost. It's like, I had that same experience with Racy as well from someone coming from a big company. I just like, mm-hmm. I don't know why we didn't know that concept. It's wild. Yeah. But yeah, I also found like, as I started to become more and more into a leadership role, it's the people that report to you, it's like, that's like where the trust is built too. It's like, they are sort of educating you on what's happening, what's going on every single day. And yeah, so you kind of have to, you have to learn from them regardless. It's like, you know, how else are you going to get the information that matters on a day-to-day basis?
Well, and it's interesting. If you think about the workforce today, we have 4 generations mm-hmm. of employees in the workforce, and we all have different ways we see things mm-hmm. or how we approach. And there's such an opportunity in that to learn across all of them to try and pick some of the best of it.
Yeah, for sure. Tell me about a time when your skill set was put to the test after you became the leader of a function, or you continued to evolve into more and more leadership roles.
So I had a humbling moment with PowerPoint where it had been a while since I had to do one. And I wouldn't say that I had even early on in my career had to do a ton of mm-hmm. PowerPoints. I'd done enough mm-hmm. of them to get by. And then we were getting some stuff ready and I was in the room with somebody and I'm, you know, I cut and paste and they came in and they said, how did you do that? They could tell the way that I had pulled these in and that things were looking weird mm-hmm. and a bit mm-hmm. distorted. And then they showed me, hey, you know, you can just like format it this way, and showed me again all these little tricks that I thought, for one, you're totally busted because people can tell that you did it the manual way. But again, I learned and in that moment mm-hmm. thought, okay, I got to dust up these skills again, because it is one of those ones that you do need. You know, I talked about self-serve. You don't want to get to a point where everything you need to do that could be a quick fix, mm-hmm. you have to go and ask someone else to do it. If it's going to take more time to ask someone else than to just do it myself mm-hmm. for some of the little stuff, just learn how to do the thing.
You still sort of, you're always like brushing off on those skills, like no matter what. It's like, you never want to lose that skill of like what I was like as an analyst to like get into the spreadsheets, get really nitty gritty. It's, you always want to make sure like, hey, no, I need to keep like ensuring I'm on top of it, because it's also like, okay, how do I know when I'm reviewing work that this is actually the right way to do this? Is this the right answer? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying there's one right answer for everything, but is it like logical enough to be correct? And is it rational? Is it whatever the case is? So I find like, you always still need to continue to brush up on those skills. And even to your PowerPoint example, it's like when you're leading a team and you're like collaborating in a PowerPoint, you really like need to be like, okay, like, does this look right? Does it look tidy? Does it like look mm-hmm. presentable? It's like, hey, we're taking this aboard to, doesn't matter, customer, it could be anything. And it's like, no, like you still need to make sure it's tight. You want it to look presentable. Doesn't matter who the audience is. It's like, you know, there's like a little bit of element of pride. It's like, hey team, like stay on top of this. Like I'm paying attention to it. And it's like those little things that like add up to like big things at the end of the day.
Well, and it's funny you mentioned that, because I also one time with PowerPoint had it where my CEO and I were going mm-hmm. through the deck, and the idea was just to get him ready for the content, and we're in there and he was fixing stuff up. And that was another one of those moments where I thought, okay, mm-hmm. I need to spend some of that time cleaning it up, because mm-hmm. here I am. But again, you also, as a leader, you have to be willing to just roll up your sleeves and get that stuff done, because it shows it matters to you.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I agree. What advice do you have for finance professionals that may be noticing that their focus isn't changing?
It's really dangerous to not be aware of that, because your focus has to change as a leader. And if it's not, that should be a bit of a clue and mm-hmm. some alarm bells should be going off. But I think then in recognizing that how and where you spend your time has to look different, then inevitably it means you're not going to be spending as much time on certain things. And I think you need to have regular check-ins with your team. You need to be clear on what the things are that you still do want to be brought into or not, and at what level of detail. But you've got to start showing up in a different way. Mm-hmm. Not, I'm doing the things the way I always did, and now I'm going to do this other as well. Because eventually you're not going to be able to do that all. Mm-hmm. And so being really clear on, you do this, bring me in these kinds of situations, I think that helps. That's the way that you still stay connected mm-hmm. to the things that are going to matter, and you don't, not knowing, drift too far away from things that you actually should be still staying on top of. And I think one last way that even though the focus is changing, we can still stay in the loop is periodically revisit your technology and understanding your tech stack mm-hmm. and the processes as a way to get a bird's eye view of what are all the things that might have changed.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Thomas, really appreciate you joining me today. Thank you so much. And it was great to be on the hot seat and have you asking me questions.
Hopefully it wasn't too hot, but I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
If you'd like more information about today's episode, please visit the links in the show notes. And if you like what you saw today, we'd love to hear from you. Please leave us a review on any of the streaming platforms. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to or watch your podcasts. For the CFO Show, I'm your host, Melissa Howitson. Until next time.